Blog Talk Radio.
Into the show as we bring you Word Sexy Radio, and I am your host Red Snapper, and we're going to do this thing like we always do every Monday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we got a fantastic show for you this evening. We're going to bring this show on, and we got some stuff that's going on. We got some interesting topics to be talking about this evening, so just sit back, and if you're not grown enough to be on it, then you need to get away, because you know how we do it on this show. We bring it like it is. Right now, I'm going to bring in my guest. I'm going to bring in Miss Dreka Armstrong, because I know she's here. How you doing?
Hey, sweetie. How are you?
We're doing just fine. I'm glad you was able to come in and talk about your book as well, and you know, some other subjects that we may bring up this evening. Understand
yes.
that you was involved in something else, so we'll be talking about that as well. But let me bring my co-host in. DV, how you doing this evening?
Hey, what's good, Red?
Hey, we're doing all right, man. We're doing just fine. How was your weekend?
Man, been sick the whole weekend.
Yeah, you sound like you're a little under the weather right now. You going to be all right?
Yeah, if I got a cough or a sneeze or something, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and throw the phone on the other side of the room.
Well, I understand. This is that time of the year. I mean, my allergies are bothering me as well. And we're here in Kansas City, as you know. It doesn't know what it wants to do, if it still wants to be winter or what.
I know it.
You know, 1 minute is 70 degrees, the next minute is 35, and everybody's getting fucked up around here. I'm just going to put it like that. That's what's going on.
Man.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's contagious.
Yeah, but we got Miss Dreka Armstrong on the show right now. She's coming in as a guest, as well as, you know how Dreka does it. So go ahead and say hi to DV, Dreka.
Hey, DV, what's up?
Hey, Dreka. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, I hope you feel better. You sound so sickly.
Man, I feel sickly.
I'm surprised you ain't got nobody over there taking care of you there, DV.
Man, me too.
maybe they don't want to catch you.
And that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. Everybody's like, yeah, give me
call
30
me
feet.
When you start, exactly. Call
you know,
me
when you get better.
Don't
you know, before we go.
Loving to be good loving?
Man, I'm already, I'm sitting up, I'm like in sweat. I'm in a full sweatsuit with a towel on.
Oh, man, trying to get it off. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, you stay as long as you can. If you got to go, we understand that. But There's a subject I want to get into before I get into the interview itself, because Dreka is like a, I ain't going to say she's a replacement, but we had someone that was supposed to come on, and they called and said that they wanted to do it at a different time because of the schedule conflicts. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But we're supposed to have Arthur Meeks on the show as well. She's supposed to be calling in. As far as I know, she's going to. And I'm still waiting on Cotton as well. But did any of y'all get a chance to go out and see the new Tyler Perry movie this weekend?
I did not.
I heard about it.
You know, I went to see it, so I can talk about it. It was interesting. That's all I can say. It wasn't a Madea movie, which I'm glad. You know, he does have other things in his mind besides Madea. And, of course, this was part of his play series, you know, The Marriage Counselor. But to me, the movie, and I'm not trying to take for him because I'm proud of him. I'm glad at what he's doing for you know, everything that he's doing, and I'm proud of where he is. But I think this movie was kind of thrown together. I mean, it had a good plot and everything, good storyline and all that, good actors. But I think that the ending is what got me kind of thrown. So if you get a chance to go out there and see it, I'm not going to tell it because I know a lot of people haven't seen it yet. It was third in the box office. It came in third in the moneymakers this weekend, but I don't know if it'll do that next week. So, I mean, if you get a chance, go head on out and check it out. It's a good movie, but it just wasn't what I thought it could have been. So that's just my opinion, though. Go ahead.
The one thing that, you know, and I've been on Facebook all day today. You know, I've seen some people basically, you know, have some pros and cons. But the one thing that I just gets under my skin is how people, if you don't talk good about a movie, especially like if it's a Tyler Perry movie, then all of a sudden you're against Tyler Perry. When the truth of the matter is, you know, there are certain people who respect good movies. You know, if it's a good movie, it's a good movie. You know, indiscriminate of who made it.
Well,
so,
you know, and
I mean,
I'm glad you said that, because I can say that Django was a damn good movie. I love it, but there's a lot of people who don't like Tarantino, you know, because they say he used the N-word too much or whatever. But, hell, every day we calling ourselves nigga and all that, so what's the difference? I think it was a great movie. Well, you know what I'm saying. There's other people that call themselves that. They go back and forth, nigga, whatever. But what I'm saying is this. You know, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying if it's a good movie, it's a good movie. And if I thought it was a good movie, I would tell you that. Now, I didn't say it was a bad movie. I just think that it could have had more potential toward it. The ending was thrown together. But it was thrown together, and that's just the way we're just going to be honest with that. It was a good movie, but I think it just lost its fizzle. So everybody that's out there, you know, you can go ahead and check it out, and I want you to support him because, you know, he didn't have a lot of theaters this time. you know, that the movie was in. So, but what I'm saying is if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. It's Word 60 Radio. We want you to give your opinion on that. And while
well,
we're waiting on,
say,
on
you
that,
know, a lot of his movies, it seems like a lot of his movies that don't have Madea in it don't make as much money, and that's what I'm starting to see. I mean, I think as far as his movie, there's only been a couple of movies of his that didn't have Madea in it that didn't do so well, which surprisingly, Daddy's Little Girl didn't do so well, which didn't have Madea in it, as well as Good Deeds. And I'm hearing
that. Good Deeds was really good.
Yeah, the Alex
Cross wasn't his, though. That wasn't his. He just started it.
Alex Cross wasn't his, but as far as the Tyler Perry movies, the ones that were in directed all by him, I'm seeing more on the lines of a lot of movies that don't have Madea in it is not really making box office hits. And, I mean,
and you know, The Family That Prays was a great movie. I don't understand why that didn't get the just due that it should have gotten. That was probably one of his best movies. I mean,
the
of course,
Family That Prays, that's the one with Sanaa Lathan.
Right, absolutely.
That was
where she
actually,
played the.
I thought it was an excellent movie.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's where she played the deranged wife, and she wanted more, and you know, it was just that.
Well, you know what I'm seeing a lot happening is that when he, because I'm seeing that a lot of his movies now are combining stage plays. Like, I Can Do That All By Myself combined practically. In fact, no, I'm wrong. The Meet the Browns movie, that combined Meet the Browns play and What Happens in the Dark Comes to the Light stage play, and he combined them together. So
well, you know, let's be honest, maybe, and I'm not saying he doesn't have any more, but let's just be honest, maybe he's running out of stuff. He's trying to get all his plays into a movie. But I'm just saying that my thing is I just wanted to say I'm supporting him, but I thought that it could have been just a little bit more to it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not, you know, downing him. I'm not against him. Nothing like that. I'm just saying that, you know, it was a lot of hype. You know, and a lot of movies do this. They have a lot of hype to get you to go, and then when you go, it fizzles, and it wasn't what you thought. Like, but the thing with Django, to me, and I'm just using it as a comparison, I mean, the movie had the hype, but it was just off the damn chain. I mean, I would pay. I've seen it twice, and I paid twice. I would go pay again to see this movie. You know, I know there's a lot of bootlegs and all that out there, but I'd rather, because the movie was that damn good to me. You know, but that's just my opinion. That's why I want people to go out there and support the man, see what they think, and let them get their own opinion on it. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we're going to do now, since you're here, Drika, we know you kind of come on and do what you want to do, but we're going to let you talk a little bit about your book that you have that just came out today, and then there's another topic that we're going to talk about. So go ahead and give us a little background on that, on your book first.
My new book, Trust No One, came out today, and, you know, what the book is about. It's about a woman who loses her husband in a car accident, and while she tries to grieve, a lot of things hit her all at once. One of those things being that she realizes that her husband's brother, their father, and her best friend all had some knowledge of his cheating ways while they were married, things that she didn't know about that she realizes that they all had some hand in some point in time in their marriage. She also finds out that her husband kept things from her as far as purchases, houses, Miami, and all this luxury stuff that he kept from her. And while she tries to grieve, she does start to fall in love with her brother-in-law and her best friend, who is a woman. But I think what really tops it off, how I really begin the book with a bang, which I did post the excerpt online about a month ago, at the repast, she is confronted by the mistress and the mister.
Okay. Well, what do you got to say about that, DV?
Man, what is there to say about it? It sounds like a good book.
It does. I like the plot.
Okay.
I like the plot, and I would definitely want to get the book.
It's, you know, but as with every story, it's always in the details. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
We can skim over the book, but, you know, what am I reading between the lines that's going to keep me, like, that's going to keep me up to 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, like, just one more chapter. Just this last chapter. I'm going to read these last few paragraphs and then I'm going to sleep. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. Well, like I said, I wish you success on it. And we definitely, you know, I know it just came out today, so we're going to tell people, you know, that are listening, you know, if you get a chance, please go out and, you know, just go out and get a copy of the book. You know, read it, put your reviews. See, that's what you know, a lot of times people get these books and they get them, you know, they bootleg books just like they do movies, which is fine. The book is getting read, but, you know, we're not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So we want you to get paid as well, but we also want you to tell others, you know, about the book so that they can get it. But, you know, a lot of times people want to trade them off. You know, they want to give it to their friends or let their, you know, somebody
mm-hmm.
read it, which is fine. But the thing is we want you to support. We want you to support. We want to be supported.
Exactly.
And we want you to, you know, support us by the book, you know. I don't know. It's just bootleg. That's what's out there.
Exactly.
But,
you buy one book and about 15 to 20 people then had that same book. It's like, I mean, I don't know if people realize that, I mean, writing a book is not an easy task. It's not something, you know, the idea may come to you very easy. But from development to publication, that could take a very long time itself. And then to get the story just right, because you just don't want to put out any old garbage. Because then you put
right.
out garbage, then you're going to be synonymous with putting out
with
garbage.
And
nobody
right.
wants to read garbage. No one wants to read a book where by the second chapter, you know who, what, when, why, and how. Nobody wants to read a book like that where you can figure
right.
it out by the first chapter. Who
exactly.
wants that?
And that's just like a movie. Well, you know, and I hate to say it. I'm not trying to dog this brother's movie, okay? Please don't take it this way, everybody that's listening. But the movie was predictable. That's why I said, you know, he needed something to put out. And we have to be the same way when we do our books. We want to have twists. Well, there was a twist. There was a couple of twists in there that came out at the end, probably close to the end, that you didn't expect. But you can kind of figure it out if you were a person that goes to movies or you read a lot of books and you know development and, you know, you can kind of figure these things out. And the objective, of course, is not to – you want to not have that. You don't want to have that. Go ahead, Dee Dee. I know you have something to say.
Right, but, like, that's been really the drawback on all of his movies. They're all predictable. At
right.
some point,
you've seen him before.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that he's not a good playwright, but translating things from the play to the big screen requires a different kind of storytelling. It's just like
right.
taking a book into the big screen. You know, even though the book seems more interesting to us, there's practical things in the movie that, you know, that just can't be done. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So I think his biggest fault is he tries to do a direct translation, and then we end up seeing the same storylines.
Right.
Exactly.
There's
yeah,
some
I don't
man,
know
there's some woman hurt.
I wonder if he is actually doing the screenplays himself, or is he having someone else do it? That I don't know. But
well,
you're right.
Who knows? But because
well,
I know, I tell you this.
Same thing.
Even though I'm not a Tyler Perry fan, I will still go and support, you know, the movies. But as far as the TV show, I'd rather
yeah,
scratch my eyeballs out with, like, ice cream scoops.
I didn't say anything about that because
I'm not trying
to do meet the Browns and all that. But anyway, yeah, I get you on that.
Because, I mean, it's like if you've seen the stage play and, you know, maybe he had a little bit of leeway with people because the marriage counselor – because from what I'm seeing, this movie is somewhat or all based on the stage play, The Marriage Counselor. So I've seen The Marriage Counselor play. I know what happened in that stage play. I know how it began. I know what happened in the middle. And I know how it's going to end. So it's like my notion on going into the movie theater is, okay, I pretty much already know what the plot or what the gist of it is going to be. So, I mean, it's like you may have one or two surprises, but I like for his movies not to be based off the play because I already seen the play. I know what's going to happen. And as we can see from his histories with the movies, whatever happened in the stage play is happening in the movies. I mean, we have to look at, prime example, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, the first stage play he did. You know, we know how it happened. You know, he had this. The only thing that that movie did not have was, you know, too much of, well, in fact, no, actually did. It had the uncle, I mean, the father smoking weed all over the place, and you had Madea acting nuts, shooting people, then pulled out a gun. I mean, so it's like when I saw the stage play and then I saw the movie, it was like, okay, it's the same thing.
Well, I didn't see the play, but I can tell you that, well, you know, so, I mean, those people that want to see the movie, I have to say some pieces here. I'm sorry, if I'm messing you up and you can't watch a movie, then y'all need to close your ears right now. Basically, the movie was just like, I mean, it was, yeah. Well, basically, it's about a couple who are together in the beginning. They love each other. They don't know nobody else but each other. Until he starts doing things that he's ignoring his wife because he's so used to being with her, and you know how people get normal and get used to someone. She's looking for other things and wants other things, and this rich guy comes in and starts to treat her that way. The things that she's missing at home, just like Sherelle's song. And then she gets caught up with this guy, and then, of course, she gets into a relationship with this guy who ends up having AIDS. And there's another woman who is running from him who happens to be working with the husband who happens to be his ex-girlfriend that's running from him. So that was the kind of twist that he threw in there. I don't know if that was in the play, but...
That was actually...
Okay, so everything is the same. And he ends up, you know, she ends up at the end with AIDS and, you know, he ends up with another woman and has a kid with another woman and leaves her. So, I mean, you know, it's probably the whole thing. So anyway... Still trying to figure out Kim Kardashian's part in the movie, but anyway, she was in it, and she was playing who she is.
Yeah, every time I heard about Kim Kardashian, it was more like Crash and Burn. It was like she really didn't need to be in this movie. So that was coming from the people who didn't like the movie and the people who loved the movie. They kind of felt like she was out of place.
I don't know if she was out of place. It's just that she don't know how to act. And she was playing this woman that's supposed to be this diva, the dresser, because the woman worked. Okay, the lady worked in a place that sets people up. You know what they call it? Like a dating service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was in the play or not. A matchmaking thing. And of course, Vanessa Williams was playing the woman that was in charge of it. And you know, old girl, the pretty girl from East Bayou. What's her name? Jory Simone, whatever that played the lead. Anyway, she was beautiful, but they had her dressing down, trying to make her look, you know, not good, so Kim Kardashian could fix her up. So, I mean, like I said, everything was all predictable. You knew she was going to have an affair with this guy. You knew what was going to happen. I mean, everything was just there. You just going because you wanted to give him some money because you already knew what was going to happen. And it ended the same way. I mean, the ending was just silly to me. I mean, they ended up not together. She walked away. Oh, I got AIDS. I fucked around. I got AIDS. Okay. That's the end. That was the whole the end, you know. So I was just kind of, you know, it was just kind of really.
But
I don't know.
You know what? The one thing that irks me about, you know, the whole Tyler Perry scenario is that people are willing to dismiss bad movies because they're like, well, he's putting black actors to work. He's getting black actors to work. You know, and that really gets under my skin. You know, so Spike Lee put together a minstrel show, you know. And he only hired black people to do minstrel. Well, at least he's getting black people to work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You got to stop using those excuses to support something that's not good. Now, if you feel like, you know, these movies are the best ever and the best thing you've ever seen, then by all means support them. But don't simply support something simply because there are other black people in it. And, you know, we got to show Hollywood this, that, and the other. What we need to show Hollywood is that we're willing to support good movies. You know, I made the mistake of seeing Red Tails, which was god awful. And it was don't get me wrong, the story is inspirational. The movie was made me want to cry real tears. You know, because
well, you know,
it was that bad.
I'm gonna tell you why. Okay, you use that movie as an example. Okay, I supported it because it was a story that needed to be told, but it wasn't told, it couldn't be told in that 2 hours.
Yeah.
So he tried to,
told, it was told better by 10 years ago by Larry Fishburne. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the movie that he was in, but he didn't make that
right.
movie. But yeah, I understand
right.
what you're saying. Okay, that movie was a little bit better. I have to give you that. But because they concentrated more on the black guy having an affair with the Italian woman and all that shit, which
right.
I thought was really, I guess he was trying to
so
show
why
racism or whatever. But just remember, this both of those movies were made by white men. This one man who made the last one, the Mr. Star Wars.
George Lucas.
Who, you know, he made this movie basically. I'm not going to say this is the whole reason because I would be lying if
so
I said this.
His wife.
But it was a piece, his girlfriend. You know, she's a black woman, and she wanted it, you know. He's a billionaire. He can do that. He spent his own money to make this movie, which was a great story to tell, but it just wasn't, you know, maybe what
should have been told.
Right, right. And let's get Cotton in real quick. She's here. How you doing, Cotton? She's there, but she probably doesn't. Cotton? Hello? Okay, I got her on.
I'm here.
Okay, that's your cue. That's how she does it. I love Miss Cotton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Hey, DB.
Hey, sweetie.
Well, we're talking to Dreka Armstrong right now. She is here, and we're talking with her. We was talking to her about her book, and then we got into the. I brought up the subject of the Tyler Perry movie this week, that came out. So. I thought that it missed something, but you know it, and not dogging him. As, like I said, it, I want everybody to understand. So when you call in or you get in the chat room, I am not bashing Tyler Perry. I'm telling you that now. Because if I was, you know, I'd be.
This is a Red Snapper show. You say whatever you want to say.
I do. You know, if I was gonna bash his ass, I would do that. But I'm not. I mean.
You don't have to preface your opinion with, I don't want to bash the man, because now, and that's the thing what I'm talking about. If we talk about other black people, all of a sudden we have to preface it with like, well, I like his other stuff, or I'm not trying to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
don't worry about all that.
I ain't going to say the movie was garbage, but I think it was missing some shit. Like I said, it was just missing some shit.
All right, see, that's better. That's the red, I know.
Now, if it was like, okay, a different twist in the end, like maybe that she motherfucking stayed with her husband or something or something, but everything was so predictable in this movie. You know, I spent, what was it? I guess I tried to go to matinee and they was charging all kinds of goddamn money. Me and this other person, we ended up paying about $20 to see this movie, and then we already knew what was going to fucking happen. The whole
hey,
time.
Where did y'all go?
We went to this stupid ass Berry Woods. Anyway, that's up north in Kansas City. It's like an expensive area. But anyway, besides the price, I mean, if the movie was good, if it was Django and I paid it, I wouldn't give a fuck. But, you know, it was this. And I try to support this man. Okay, sometimes I understand why, and I'm not taking sides or anything, but I do understand sometimes why Spike Lee be talking shit, but because of the buffoon in him and all that. But did you see it?
Yes, I did.
And you didn't like it. Tell us why.
No. I enjoyed the movie. First of all, I've seen The Mayor's Counselor, the play. So I, you know, I've seen
you didn't want to even go
and,
see it.
And
huh?
I
so
didn't.
You already know what's up.
No.
Like,
I saw the
you,
movie.
Okay,
I enjoyed
so,
the movie.
Okay, so tell us why you like the movie.
I enjoyed the movie because I like that he portrays, you know, that the woman is the raunchy one in the movie. She is the jacked up one in the movie.
But you like that though, because that's what you always.
No, I
stress.
Like that because I don't like it when people are all the time just doing the male bashing and people complain about that all the time.
And you're right.
Now he made it to where she's the jacked up one, because if you saw the play, The Marriage Counselor, because that's what this movie was based off of.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw
right,
the play,
right.
The Marriage Counselor, the broad in that said some things to her, to the husband, that was just so foul that I probably would have slapped her myself. But because of the way that it went down, I enjoyed the movie because of the way that it portrayed itself. She started off as this really sweet woman, and she didn't want to do this, and she had these goals. And then as always, people always think the grass is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run into that kind of situation. So that he put that out there to say there are women out there, too, that think that the grass is greener on the other side. And as soon as they get over there, it ain't nothing but weeds.
To come back.
Okay, I can take that. Yeah.
So well, sometimes it's not always about the whole. It's a message behind what he says. There sometimes you got to look past certain things, but there's a message in the movie that he's putting out there.
Well, you know,
the man with the money, even though he's painted perfectly, he ain't necessarily perfect. He has some flaws too. He got all the money he's wanting, he's dining you, and you step over to realize that, oh, okay, he even though he got all of this, he missing something because he didn't beat the crap out of me, got me hooked on cocaine, got me turned out to other women.
And he gave her AIDS too. So yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you know, I wasn't looking at.
Was, she got what she deserved, kinda.
Well, see, I wasn't even looking at it like that, Cotton. I wasn't even looking at, you know, the fact that about Tyler Perry himself. What I was saying earlier before you came on is I thought that the movie was missing something. I mean, it had a message. I didn't say it didn't have a message.
Yeah.
But I did say that the way it ended, it was missing something. I left wondering what now? I mean, you know, damn, she walks away. I got AIDS. I'm gone. I'm walking away. I mean, I thought it just could have been a little bit more to it than that. But that's just me, though. So, you know. But everybody go out there and see the movies. He came in third this week. I don't know if he'll be at that high this week coming up for the weekend box office, but he came in third. And we wish him well. You know, he's doing something. You know, a lot of people can say what they want, but he is doing something, you know.
Definitely.
So, Drinker, did you want to say anything else about your books or anything like that
I want you to trust no one into a movie.
Okay, you want to make it into a movie, okay.
Yes,
it sounds good.
We'll be filming in Charlotte next summer.
Oh, okay, good. Well, you got to keep us informed on that. Now tell me.
wait. What's being made into a movie? I didn't hear that book.
My book, Trust No One, the one that came out today. That's being turned into a movie next summer.
All right. You ain't going to come back, you know, next year, and we were like, who made the movie? I don't know. Did he get paid? I don't know that either. You know, because we had somebody on the show previously.
Yeah, we did. We did have somebody do that, yeah. They didn't know who did what, nothing. They just sold the damn rights to the shit. But anyway.
Oh, no.
They supposedly showed the rights.
Supposedly.
All of it is being made by me. It's nothing I'm not giving nobody my movie. I'm doing it myself with camera crew, all that. I'm not giving my movie away to nobody. That would be...
Okay, okay. That's we don't want to get you off on that one because we'll start talking shit about that.
Since you're making this movie, we just want to make sure that you don't forget about Word Sexy Radio with Kyle.
Yeah, you know.
Because
right. I want my free movie ticket. Don't be like, DV who? No, I'm joking.
DV what?
Like, where do I know you from again? I'm
you know,
sorry.
You sound familiar, but...
Hey, DV what?
Didn't you used to bring me my coffee in the morning?
Like, yeah. Who are you again? I'm sorry. You got to wait back in line with the rest of
anybody. DV how? Well, anyway... Trika has another subject she's going to bring up real quick. We're going to discuss, and I know y'all get tired. It seems like she always seems to get fucked. I don't know what's going on with y'all. I hope you don't get screwed in the movie business.
I don't know.
But tell us what happened to you, Trika.
There was a ball that was done in Charlotte this past weekend, actually the weekend before, and the ball was supposed to have a few celebrity people in attendance. One being Miguel Nunez, Christopher Williams from New Jack City, Terrell Phillips from Blackstreet, and Deatra Hicks, who's also been in a couple of Tyler Perry's plays. This was supposed to take place at a very luxurious hotel in downtown Charlotte. Was supposed to include a 5-course meal, and we were supposed to get the works and everything. We had to come in black tie attire, and everything started to go wrong that Friday. I actually flew from Jersey to Charlotte that Friday, and I was leaving Sunday. And while I was in Charlotte Friday, I received a message that the venue of the ball had changed. It was no longer at a hotel, but now at an upscale nightclub in downtown Charlotte.
Now, who was over this? Who was sponsoring
her
this?
Her name is Pichanda Du Bois. She has a play actually called The Devil Thought He Had Me.
Have y'all heard of that?
No.
Exactly.
But you know, I ain't in Charlotte.
But, I mean, the whole situation was very messed up. When we got to the club, for one, we're in black tie attire. We look like we just came from prom. Everything that was missing was chaperones and corsages. Everybody was in their tuxedos, their suits, women in these ball gowns. You know, half of them boys from David Bridal. But we ain't got to say, nothing wrong with that, though.
Now, you was in a club in the ghetto?
A club in downtown Charlotte.
Okay. Not the ghetto,
but a really nice metropolis, so to speak. But it was a really nice. We got there, and I walked inside, me and my mouth. I'm like, what the hell is this? This is not what I paid for. Wait, hold up. What is this? Wait a minute. What is y'all going to serve? Because me, I was hungry. I ain't going to lie. I was hungry. I was waiting for the five-course meal because I was hungry. I've been running all day. Stomach all growling, making noises. I get to this place like, wait a minute. This ain't no five-star event. What is this? What type of hole in the wall y'all got me in? Everybody in there was highly pissed off. Everybody. Miguel Nunez did not show up. She previously told all of us the morning of the ball, Crystal Williams was not showing up or possibly not showing up due to a family emergency. So she was still waiting on him to see if he would come. We took that at her word. We got to the ball. Where's Crystal Williams? Oh, he's not coming. The family emergency was so bad he couldn't come. We find out, well, let me go to the food she served. Now, I'm hungry. I didn't want my five-course meal. She fed us these teriyaki meatballs that smelled like somebody's gym socks and jock straps.
Damn.
That's because they was real balls.
They
not the real balls. Real balls, man.
I'm just saying. I don't
sprinkled in teriyaki.
I was like, what is this contraption? I said, this is blasphemy. I'm not putting these stinking balls in my mouth. No. I don't do it. No other reason. Ain't no need to start now. Then they fed us chicken wings that looked like it was made in somebody's mama kitchen and gave us celery sticks, no carrots, and no dip. I said, my ticket was $225. That's the admission to go to the ball was $225. I'm like, $225 is not safe for me to get no damn celery stick, a teriyaki meatball that smelled like guts and ass, and you want to feed me some chicken wings? I looked at this lady like, I should bust you in the head to the white meat show. What is this? Deatra came, which if most of you may know, she played Jackie in Tyler Perry's Family Reunion, his very first play. And she also played a nurse in his play What Happens in the Dark, which was combined with Meet the Browns to make the Meet the Browns movie. But she's mainly known for singing a rendition of Patti LaBelle's If Only You Knew. And she does it beautifully. We got there. Crystal Williams is not there. Miguel Nunez is not there. Terrell Phillips is hoarse, so he's not singing. I don't even know why he showed up, but he's not singing. And then Deatra Hicks performed, and she was doing beautifully until the club cut her mic off and told her the party was over so they could open up their nightclub. So she never actually sung If Only You Knew. And the organizer of the event had the audacity to ask us for donations to help her pay the remainder of the bill for the night.
Wow.
I had to step away and pray because I had on a nice, beautiful blue ball gown, had my hair all done up, curled to the side, slicked to the left, and I had on shoes that every bit of me wanted to just pop her neck in four different places. And now she's engrossed in a lot of legal debt because majority of the people that was there, some are being kind and courteous as far as, oh, we know you tried your best. It's okay. Drink ain't one of them. I paid for A, B, C, and D, and what you gave me was none of the above. I don't want this. So now she has to stop her play.
Okay, so now this woman is another one that's on the list like the other lady that we talked about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Well, if you encounter this woman and you know you're not supposed to, you know, you have to make sure you check it out before you do something. And it's just a shame that we do ourselves like that because, you know, it's black people that do it to each other. I don't know why we have to do it. But interesting. So we'll definitely have to look at that. So we got about 20 minutes left in this segment. Cotton, what's our subject tonight?
What do men want?
Say that again.
Ooh. What do men want?
What do men want?
Yes.
How do we get that?
Mm-mm-mm.
What do men want? Okay, well, we know the subject is what do men want, and we want you to call in. The number is 347-215-8539, and we want you ladies to call in and men as well and tell us what do men want, because we're about to get slammed, I see, right now, me and DV, because,
uh-huh.
You know, they're going to be asking us all kind of questions, what do we want, and if we don't know the answers, they're going to be like, well, y'all don't know what the fuck y'all want. Well, anyway. So
yeah, chat room, go call us women.
We want you to get involved too, chat room, so we're going to do that. So that's the subject, what do men want? And she comes up with these things on the flip. It doesn't be planned. Most of the time it's just, here it is, shooting from the hip. And I'm wondering why you came up with that subject. Is there a reason behind it?
There kind of is, of course, because I think that like women, some men just really don't know what they want. They think they do, or they say they want this, and yeah.
Okay. All right. I hear you. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And,
oh, good gracious.
Let me see. I see the chat room. Let me see. Oh, somebody was saying something in the chat room. I thought it was something going on, but something about Buck stopping fully.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, can you you know about that, Didi?
No, I was reading. It says, where does the buck stop with poorly written work, the author, editor, or the publisher? All of the above. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't blame one person in this instance. Because as the author, you know, if somebody tells you your work is messed up or there's something wrong with it, the very first thing you want to do is you want to pull all your books off the shelf, get them edited over again, so that when you put out your product again, it's the best possible product. The fact that go ahead.
The problem with that should have been is they shouldn't have got on the shelves in the first place if they aren't to the point that they should be. But we know that happens now with self-publishing and everything. Stuff gets out there that's probably not good. Okay, we understand that.
What?
But if we would just take our time instead of trying to hurry up and get this damn book out and just take your time and make sure it's tweaked as much as possible, I think we would be better at putting out better product.
I'm going to tell you like this. I was looking up several books today, all right, several books, and, you know, of course, I looked at Amazon and I looked at all the reviews, and there were certain books that people were like, well, I couldn't read this book. It had so many edits and so many errors that I had to read paragraphs several times to understand what the author was saying. At that point, the thing is, but then they get a book 4 and 5 stars.
Right.
You know? And the thing is, if you want authors to write better, if you honestly want, you know, but we know that the author's not going to be perfect. We know the editor is not going to be perfect. We know the publisher don't give a damn, because the publisher is going to put it out, and so what? If it needs to be redone, they're going to sell those extra copies and just get the author to rewrite it for a second, you know, for a second print. You know, but at the end of the day, if you want your authors to put out a better product, you have to hold them accountable for what they're putting out,
mm-hmm.
you know. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. There are too many people who give a free pass because they understand the concept of the story. It's just that it's written poorly.
Right.
You know, well, they're one and the same.
Especially
you can't
with,
say,
with
I understand. Well, it doesn't matter what genre. You can't sit up there and say, I understand the story and I like this story, but it's poorly edited and poorly written.
But the reason why I chose that genre is because a lot of the people that write in that genre, and I'm not trying to dog urban fiction, but a lot of people that write in that genre they'll use the Ebonics as a reason, or they'll use slang as a reason why it's not done right, so it's supposed to sound that way, or it's supposed to sound hood. You know, they use those excuses, I call it, so that the book can go out like that.
But that's the thing.
People think that's street talk. That's why it's supposed to be like this.
No, but
a lot of mainstream authors are pissed because of that.
But what upsets me is, like, let's take it 100 years ago, where black people were so poorly educated that they couldn't put a full sentence together. And yet, you know, you got books, you know, from that era that were still grammatically correct. You know what I'm saying? And they understood the rule of editing and writing and whatnot. So they persevere because they're great works. You know, Arthur Haley, he wasn't the best student, but when he sat down and said, I'm writing Roots, you know, he put together the best. Just think if he used Ebonics outside of the parentheses in the story, would it be as epic a story? No, because people are like, oh, well, it's a good book, but it's poorly written. You know, the thing is, you take a good book and you could have made it great by just, you know, a few edits or taking a little more time.
All that is good, but, you know, you could take Uncle Tom's Cabin and all those books like that was written in, and they had Tom talking and all this damn slave talk. And that shit was absolutely magnificent in the eyes of the white man for what the book was put together, because she had this, I forget who wrote the story, I can't remember the author. But they had it where Tom was talking like, oh, yes, the math and all that. But see, that was okay. So you know, are we really wrong?
Like
what we're saying?
It's the context that the story was written in. You know what I'm saying? Because this is the thing. Like, I read Uncle Tom's Cabin like a long time ago. And when I heard people, you know, calling each other Uncle Tom's, I never really understood, you know, the concept until I read the book. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I understand the significance. But even in the Uncle Tom's Cabin, you know, when it was written, and it was edited by white people for Harriet Beecher Stowe, because she wasn't the best at mastering the English language. If they would have let her put it out the way it had been written, like a lot of these books are done now, do you think we would still be talking about Uncle Tom's Cabin to this day? No.
No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, probably not. But I'm going to say I don't know. The only reason why I'm saying I don't know is because of the era of time, the way they were talking.
Right.
You know, if they would have used that as the buffer of the era of time, the way they were talking, you know, then it would be, you could say that that's classic, because, you know, even with Mark Twain and the way he wrote and stuff, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff was a little country talk that they had back then, and that was supposed to have been, they said, that was perfect, you know, it was done in such, you know, because, you know, you take these English classes, they teach you how to write perfectly so that you can write slang. You know, once you get all this education, then you come out and they want you to write, to make it real, you got to write the way people are. You know what I'm saying?
But no,
but you're, I understand where you're coming from.
Pieces. No, you're talking about period pieces, in which case that the dialect is completely different than what it is now. So the way that they're writing in the story, like even in Huck Finn, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even the dialect in the story isn't the dialect that they spoke.
Right.
You know, and you know, it wasn't, the reason why it wasn't, within the parentheses, they could pretty much say whatever they wanted to say. You know,
right,
but
yeah, I know, Chief, and that's what they were using. You're right.
Right.
You're right.
You know, but you,
but I understand
a
where you're
completely
coming
different
from.
Dynamic.
I understand where you're coming from. I mean, you want to be more better, just because it might be some hood talk, you still want to have the pieces in between that make sense. You know, I understand you want what you're saying, I'm not dogging that, but my thing is, you know, you editing just needs to be, we just need, all of us need to concentrate on that more, you know, and you can have 15, 20 editors look at the book and they can get it as clean as possible, but You know, there's always going to be still something missing, but it's not going to be that much missing, okay? So, but I understand what you mean. And I also see the chat room saying that the editor's name isn't out there like the publisher and the author. Their name may or may not go in the book, but the publisher and the author's name is a definite. So, you know, that's true. I mean, if you look at it, those people are the ones who's going to be, and most of the time the publisher's name is, if they're using it right, it won't be the name of the publisher, it's the company. So that company is looking fucked up. So, yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, is if an author, okay, as an author, we all know that we sensitive about what we write. And if the editor comes through and slashes half of it, we piss. Because, you know, we basically wear our heart on our sleeve. But understand this, you know, as the editor, if you feel like, look, you know, you're not taking my suggestions to heart, then have your name removed. Because you're like, I don't want, you know, you have to let people know that you don't want to be associated with these things. You know,
right.
You still going to get paid for your editing work. But like, you know, but like they said, an editor doesn't just do the punctuations, and they do, you know, a true editor is going to do some story editing. They're going to do, you know, they're going to make sure that all the characters have the same name and the same spelling. Everything in that book is a part of what the editor is supposed to do.
Absolutely.
If the author is not taking that to heed, then you say, look, just go ahead and give me my money and do not put my name, do not attach my name to this book.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, my thing is this, you know, it probably is a good idea to have an editor that does the content and maybe have another editor that does all the grammatical, you know, so that they can concentrate on just those areas. Because sometimes all that on one editor is just a lot. You know, it may cost a little bit
more money. That's why it costs a lot of money. You can't take the cheap way out. You know, what we say, there's three ways to do things. There's fast, there's cheap, and there's right. You can always get two out of three, but you damn sure ain't going to get three out of three. So pick which two you want.
Absolutely. Okay, so what we're going to do, we got like 8 minutes left in this segment. And Evie is back there sneezing and shit. And, you know, he's got the allergy thing going on. I do too. Now, Cotton, tell us a little bit about what's going on with you. Cotton.
Uh-oh.
Cotton, Miss Cotton. Hello.
Yes.
Miss Cotton. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you, because you always be gone when we call you.
I was listening, and I put the phone on mute, so I didn't breathe or say something, or somebody said something to me while, you know, somebody was talking, so...
Well, you're known for this now. You know that, right? That's your MO now. That we have to call you three or four times. You know that, don't you? It's okay. So what I was asking you was basically, I don't even know what I was asking you now. I lost it. Anyway, we got about 6 minutes, and you said we're going to talk about what men want. Okay. Well, I'm going to play something so that we can get ourselves prepared. I wonder if we should have what type of song should I play that would go along with that? I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know because I don't know what I want. And I know that was driven at someone that you know. Say what?
That's driven by a lot of men that I...
Really? Well, I'm going to play this. Let me see. We got... we got enough time for this song. Let me play this. We're going to do this one here.
Hey, what's up, girl? I think it's time to put those toes.
that's the sounds of Low Key. Play with me coming at you on this show tonight on Word Sexy Radio. We got that subject, what do men want, coming up. Need to call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, grown folks radio, and we do it like that all the time, every Monday, 8 o'clock Central Time. And we want you to bring your questions to the subject tonight, as it's going to get hot and heavy here in just a minute. So we want to do it for you. Sounds like these brothers know what they want. We'll be talking about it here in just a minute. We're back on Word Sexy Radio, and we got that subject coming at you that Miss Cotton is going to drive us with today, is what do men want? So we're going to give the floor to her, we're going to give the mic to her, and we're going to let her go ahead and start it off, and we're going to go from that point. So what do you think, Miss Cotton? What do men want? What made you come up with this subject?
Hey, I think some behavior amongst, on, you know, that men display, that it just, you know, Because you hear men say, I've heard some men say that women don't know what we want, really. Well, you know, most of us do. But then on the other hand, men don't seem to know what they want either. Well,
okay.
is it because you have too many options, or is it because you really don't know what you want?
Good question. DV, you want to start it off?
Oh, I'd love how you're going to defer to me. You better answer this question, man.
I'm going to answer it after you speak, because I know you're going to come as the philosopher and shit like you always do.
No, you go ahead and answer it.
Yeah, he wants me to go. Well, you know, I think you're right. A lot of men don't know what they want, especially it depends on situations that they've been in prior to where they think they want certain things. And a lot of times, you know, and I say men and women, one minute something looks good and you feel like you want it, and then when you do get to that point, it's like, it's here, what am I going to do? Do I really want this? You start cringing. Like, I'll use myself as an example since I'm the first one to talk. You know, a lot of times, you know, I want a companion. I want someone that I can travel with and spend time with and do things with and enjoy life with. But a lot of times, you know, when you start thinking about what comes with that, what are you really asking for? You know, you got to make sure that that is what you want, because once you have another person involved, I think what makes me cringe sometimes is the fact that I know that if I have to start including someone else in my plans when I do things, because I can't just get up and go like I would like to if there's someone else. Even though you really care about this person, you really want to be with that person, or you love that person, still, it's the ideal of you can't plan nothing unless they're involved, and you got to be ready to accept that. So that could be one instance. What do you think, someone, anybody? And Melanie, we're glad you're here as well.
Hi. Hey, Cotton. Hey, DV.
Hey.
And we have Jerika Armstrong. She's our guest this evening. She's on the show.
Hi. How you doing? I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, so what woman is going to come in now with the answer?
Well,
not everybody jump at once. Okay.
Well, I believe that if men were more honest on what they want or what they expect, a lot of things, and I just can't say men, that actually does go both ways, but as far as men is concerned, I think if they're honest in the beginning as to what they want or what they expect, that will eliminate a lot of miscommunication, because we could genuinely ask, you know, what are you looking for? And we can get everything such as, oh, I'm looking for a good woman. I'm looking for a woman that got my back. And then when that woman portrays all of the characteristics you had asked for, it seems that there's always something's amiss. And after trying to play Inspector Gadget, we then find out, oh, maybe all he wanted was just an intimate relationship. But then we ask the question, why couldn't you be honest and just say
because he thinks that if he tells you, he ain't going to get it.
Well,
and
not
that's what mostly happens.
And he rightfully knows, but I mean, we have standards. I mean, some women in which, you know, some women do have standards. You know,
that was late. I'm sorry.
Yeah, late as hell.
I mean, some women out there do not have standards. Let's just put that point blank out there. Some women do not have standards. They can meet you at a club Friday. They're at your house Saturday afternoon, me cooking and
Friday night.
And trying to be basically, or even they at your house and you wake up and they, what you want for breakfast? How did we go from meeting 5 hours ago to now I'm being called babe? Where's the transition at? But then you have women like that who just do not care, but then when they meet some women such as ourselves that are kind of like, wait a minute, hold on, I don't want just an intimate encounter. Is that all you want? Nah, babe, all I want is just communication, love, and respect. And when we give you that, it's like, wait a minute, something's not right. I mean, we get that gut feeling something's not right. And when we address it and we get to the nitty-gritty, then we get, oh, I didn't want to tell you because I honestly ain't know what I want. It's like,
look, man, let's get this out of the way. 99.99% of times in a relationship, people don't know what they want at the beginning. They don't know what they expect, and they don't know what they want. And then when they have this, they think they have this, you know, mind-blowing experience where they all of a sudden they realize what they want, but they don't. You know, you walk into a relationship seeing if you can fit with that person. You don't know what you're expecting from them. Yeah, sure, you have these standards. And, you know, sir, you don't want guys who don't do this, and you don't want to be around women who do that. But at the end of the day, we both clueless because we still feeling each other out. We don't know what the other person wants. We don't even know what we want. So the only reason we find out is through experience, and sometimes even after we find out that that's not what we want, nobody wants to say anything. Everybody just kind of, you know, tries to let it play out to see what can happen rather than opening their mouth and saying, look, this is not working. But
right.
Each one of us would be lying if we say we walked into a relationship already knowing what we want, because then when we find out that that person is not exactly what we want, but we still find out that we can, that there's somebody we can be with, we still try.
You know, a lot of times, I think some people just want to have sex, but they don't want to say that sometimes. In some some instances, not all the time.
But even those people who
just
want sex.
It's not just the guys.
Sex.
There's women. There are women.
No. When I say guys,
well.
I'm speaking in generalization.
I got you.
But even,
like
even
men,
those
I got
people,
you. Okay.
Right. But even those people who just want sex still don't walk in. They still kind of want something. They just don't know what. You know
exactly, but the thing is, right now they may just want sex, but if they say that and put it on the table, which they should be doing that anyway, but a lot of times people are scared to put everything on the table. They're worried that if I tell the truth, that she's going to leave and I'm not going to get it, or he's going to leave and I'm not going to get it. When all they have to do, that might be what that other person wants, you know, just to have sex. Or it could be that they really want to be in a relationship. But like you said, nobody knows really the whole what they want until they get into it to see what they want. That's just it. I don't think everybody goes in. There's a few. I'm not saying everybody, because Cotton may know what she wants. She might go into a relationship knowing what she wants. Some people, you know, I just don't see a lot of people doing that. And I'm not saying it's impossible. But my thing is, you know, a lot of times you might want this thing, and then you find out you want something else after being in this relationship. That's not what you really thought you wanted.
And right in the middle of a relationship, you find out you want something completely different.
And it doesn't mean that it's not that person. It might be just an epiphany comes, and you see something else from the experience that you have while you're in this one, if that makes sense.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that, but what is wrong with just saying, I don't know? Because as you men have stated, I mean, of course, not everybody may not know what they want going head in. For those who do, you could, like, I could, like, a man could ask me, Rodrigo, what do you want out of this? I can tell you A, B, and C what I want. And I can ask you the same question. Instead of saying, I want the same things you want, but then come sometime down the line, it becomes, well, I don't know what I want. It could be just as simple as, I don't know. That way, that person is not putting or trying to build to put their all into something when someone is sitting there knowingly was unsure at the very beginning. It's like, you know, I asked you a question. You could say, I don't know. I mean, if that person really wants to be with you, then you'll say, you know what, well, how about this? Let's try to figure that out together. At least that woman or that man will be more acceptable to say, okay, you know
what? In a perfect world, that works. In a perfect world, that works. But sometimes people just don't want to accept that you don't know. So they would not do that. That's the reason why the game is being played, is because they're worried that this person might have told them what they thought they wanted. They still being greedy and selfish, want to give it that person, and they'll do it anyway, even though they're not going to give them the whole thing. That's where game comes in. Go ahead, Didi.
But not only that, but you have to realize that. Oh, I'm sorry, but one quick. You have to realize that this myth that you go into a relationship knowing what you want, it's a lie. All you really know is what you don't want. You know what I'm saying? And that comes
through
experience.
And you're not even sure about that either.
But that comes through experience. The things that you find out you can handle are the things that you like, okay, this is one thing I can handle. This is something I can't handle. That's where you start feeling each other. That's that point you start feeling out each other's idiosyncrasies. But
after you get
heart
past the infatuation of sex. Yeah.
Right. And you say, you know, these are the things we say. We say, I want somebody smart. What we really say is we don't want nobody stupid. You know, I want somebody funny or who can laugh with me. What you're really saying is if they don't have a sense of humor, then I can't be around them. So we sugarcoat the things that we don't want and try to pass them off as things that we do. But in actuality, all you know is the things that you don't. In order to find out the man that you really want, you have to figure out this person that you're with and see if these are the things that you can handle or the things that you can't handle.
The chat room is not agreeing with you, DV.
That's fine. The
chat room is not agreeing. I'm trying to see what they're going to say, but go ahead. I wish they would call in. That way we can get it better than just seeing the words. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I guess in a broader spectrum, and I guess for men and women, but I think wanting something and needing something aren't the same. And I think that just like growing up and getting the ass whooping for something that you did wrong is what you needed, not necessarily what you wanted. But in relationships, I think it's kind of the same thing. You may not necessarily get to experience what you want, but you are always, always in a situation where you get what you need, whether that be teaching with this person, you know, learning that you don't like A, B, C, and D, or learning that you love, you know, A, B, C, and D, and you'll always attract what you need to experience. And I think the wanting part of it just confuses things. I think that you're never the same person. You're never going to be who you were a week ago or a day ago, you know, an hour ago. And obviously things are going to change as you experience things, and relationships are no different.
So, Ms. Cotton, let me ask you, because I've heard you say this several times, and I know you have an answer to this. What is it that you want? And this is only your answer, of course. It's not every woman. But what do you want? You say you know what you want, so tell us.
I do know what I want. I don't want to really go through that, but, you know, because I don't want to make this about me, but
it's not about
that,
you. You're just a person that knows what you want, and we want to hear, you know, just an example. It's not that nobody's putting you out, singling you out, because you say that a lot of times, and I really believe you do know what you want, and you keep your standard to that. So that's why I want to just kind of get what you say and make sense of it so that we can understand what a person sounds like that knows what they want versus someone who thinks they know and don't, like me. Go ahead.
I know that I want a man that, as far as a relationship is concerned, I need him to be very attentive, because I require attention. You can't go 3 or 4 days really and not communicate with me. I like for him to have good conversations. He needs to be able to do that. He doesn't always have to be funny, but it's good to have a sense of humor. You know, be supportive of who I am as an individual and understand that. I mean, there are a lot of things that I know that I want, and that's probably why I'm still single, because if I find that there's something missing there, then I kind of shy away from you, because I don't want to settle as I have in my past. I won't do that to myself again, because then as the time goes on, I realize that I'm really needing that, and I knew that they were lacking that in the first place, but I said, you know what, okay, work through it. I won't do that again. So this is why I brought this up. I went on Saturday, I went on a date, and the gentleman took me to see Temptation. We went down to the plaza, had a nice time. Conversation was pretty okay, and he asked me what I like about a man. I told him. And then, but one of the things that he never asked me was, what was I looking for as far as a relationship? Now, not that I'm expecting to have a relationship with him, but just for conversation's sake, you know, because then after that, then he wanted to talk about sex, and I didn't.
So was that your first date with this person?
My first date with this person.
Excuse me, so I missed that.
This was my first date with this person.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know, I'm not trying to say what's right or wrong in a date, but like I said, I always say personally, me personally, if you really want to know about this person that you're going out with, you really want to know what they're about, you don't take them somewhere where you got to sit there and you're occupied by something else, which is a movie. I think that's that's the worst place you can start a first date with someone. I mean, I understand you can go out and dinner afterwards or whatever or something like that, but I just think that you should, if you really want to find out the intellect about someone or where their mind is, go somewhere where you can actually talk to them. So, and then,
well, this,
you know,
this is,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is as far as a person.
You're breaking up.
I don't want to be the aggressor in the relationship or in the dating world. I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't mind being the aggressor sometimes. But if your conversation is based on me striking the conversation each and every time, then I'm going to get bored with that because now I'm feeling like you're only trying to feed off of me. I've had enough of that. So I like, you know, this is, you know, you see red flags. So I see red flags and I move on.
Yeah,
but
I think the difference with some people is, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but in the middle of the conversation, he says to me that he's got, and I don't know why you men say this, it kills me, and I just chuckled when he said it, but he said, I just got out of a relationship, and I said, oh, okay, and I said, see, he chuckled too.
Yeah, it's fucked up. He
doesn't
expect it up for us. Right.
You
know,
that's
my thing
a nice
is, why are you telling somebody, okay, I just got our relationship? It's a rebound. It's a fucking rebound.
How long has it been? Oh, that ain't the killer part. How long has it been? Oh, it's been a little over a year. You didn't just get out of a relationship. Like, come on. Oh, it's
involved relationship,
right?
That's when it also comes in.
Okay, everybody's sounding muffled to me. I don't know what's going on with the sound here. Could y'all repeat that? Because it was all muffled.
Well, men just want to be friends. I mean, they tell us, "Oh, I just came out of a relationship." Okay.
It's not even
that.
He's saying, is it okay if we just have sex?
Right, exactly. That's what
he's saying. I just got a relationship. I mean, we can have sex, and that's as far as, you know.
Right.
It's like talking politicians. You have to read in between the lines so many times that you just get tired of it.
Exactly.
And that's what it is. Because a serious relationship, I think, okay, a year ago, he's not looking for a serious relationship now. Like you said, he just wants to have sex or whatever. Yeah.
Not even that. What I've come to learn about when men open that door, and when they say, when they phrase it that way, is because they have to build up the sympathy story first to try to draw you in emotionally to feel sorry for them, so you might have sex with them.
Is that what that is?
It sets the first brick in the foundation of us. You know, we're about to fall apart, but just in case, I just want you to know that, you know, it plays itself out, because once you set up the story, everything that goes wrong you know, between you guys, it's probably, you know, it's because of my family and this and that and the other. It kind of, you know, builds that house in of itself. You know what I'm saying? It sets the, it allows you to let the relationship fall apart without you assuming any of the responsibility of being in a relationship.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And where there should be honesty, because, I mean, it's like Cotton. Like, if you would have asked him, if you and him were speaking before this date and he would have came out and said, well, look, all I just want is sex. Like, I'll take you to a movie. You can go see a movie. But my goal at the end of the night is sex. That would have been the end of it. There would be no, well, let's go out for it. No, you told me what you want. You were honest. I appreciate your honesty, but that's not what I'm looking for. So you thank you, but no thank you. But I honestly believe that men are doing the all-time favorite of mine, that I find it so hilarious. If I buy you dinner or take you to a movie, I'm owed something by the end of the night. Because that's all it seems like. Once you get the dinner and the movie, it's like, well, we're about to go home. Yeah, you know, I'm a little tired. Mind if I come up and rest for a little bit? But no, yes, I do mind you coming up to my house to rest for a little bit. You know, or then you know that they want something. We say, man, I got, you know, my mother in the room, my kids in the next room. Oh, I'll be quiet. No, be quiet for what? You're not coming up. It's 2:00 in the morning. Why are you coming up to my house? You don't know me. I don't know you.
Because he's hinting around to coming to my house, and I'm just like, no, you can't come to my house. For one, my grandmother's there, my aunt's there. You can't come to my house. Like, and I was as polite as I could be about it, but I just realized that. And like I said, here's when you, as a woman, when you've gone through, or as anybody, when you've gone through some stuff, and this is why I brought this topic up, because after you've gone through so many different things as far as the relationship concerned, about that 10th one, you really should know what you want. There should be no, I'm not sure, or maybe, no, know what you want and then go after it so you don't keep making the same mistakes as you made the last 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Or when you know you made the mistake, get out. Don't sit like some women do. And you know what, I'll be honest. I can say that I fell for that. I can say I was in a situation where I told someone what I wanted. They told me, well, I want what you want. But then during the course of the courtship, I should say, I can't even call it a relationship, but during the process of the courtship, I started seeing things I did not like. Like, wait a minute, I don't like the way you did this, or why we can't chill because you want to go hang out with your boys and play pool. But as soon as I hit below the bell and said, well, you know what, when you want to cuddle, you call your boys. Then I get attention. Then I realize, okay, this is not where I want this to go. And women need to know at that point in time, if you get to that point, leave. Do not stay.
Well, let me tell you this. Let me say this real quick. Not trying to cut you off, but see, the problem that men do all the time, and I always mention this all the time, is if you hang out with your boys on certain days and you do certain things, you need to keep doing that while you're in the relationship with the person so that they know what you do. So that's the problem with men sometimes. We do things that is not normal, which we put all the time in with the woman. We give her all this, trying to get some and trying to be there all the time, ignoring our boys and all this, knowing that that's not our norm. If you just be your norm, then the woman would know your norm and know who you really are. Instead of you giving her all this time in the beginning, and then you turn around, now you got her, now you want to go back to what you used to do. That's bullshit. And the same thing with women. They need to be able to go and hang out like they've always been doing in the first place and still give his time to each other. That's what a normal relationship should be. But a lot of times we put all this time in saying, oh, I want to be with her, I'm giving her all this time. And then when you start pulling back, she thinks something wrong. It is something wrong. You wasn't truth. You wasn't doing the right thing in the first place. So that right there is it shouldn't be done that way. He should have been hanging with his boys or whatever he'd do and come to see you whenever, and then you would be used to that and it wouldn't be something
true.
New.
True, but certain holidays, you're not even supposed to be with your boys. Valentine's Day, I don't know no man that has a girlfriend that will rightfully say, we can't go out tonight because I'm going to go play pool with my boys.
Well, you know, that motherfucker might be a faggot. I don't know. But, you know,
exactly.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You don't want to go out.
And I'm sorry,
but,
gay people.
You know,
anyway.
Like, it's a little weird. Like, you don't want to go out for Valentine's Day because you're doing what again? Oh, I'm going to play pool with my boys.
wait a minute, are the boys bringing their girls? I'm trying not to be the one that assume and be wrong. I'm trying to ask every variation of that question just so I make sure I get the same answer. I'm like, so is it your boys are bringing their girls and their wives? Oh, no. Okay, so your boys are going out with their girls first. Then y'all all going to meet up. No, we just going to go out and chill. All of us going to go play pool and drink. On Valentine's Day, February 14th. Now, we're talking about the 14th, not the 13th or 15th, the 14th, right?
Yeah, but see, my thing is, and I understand the importance of Valentine's Day and all this and Mother's Day and all this shit. I get that, okay? That was probably a little foul. But if he was doing all the things he's supposed to do with you anyway, it shouldn't make a difference on the day. But I understand it's a tradition that everybody wants to be seen and do the little love thing on Valentine's Day. I got that. But if he's doing the right thing all the time, then that little thing shouldn't make a difference. Because he should be able to give you some time in the beginning before he go with the boys or don't go at all. He can sacrifice. See, I'm not saying it's right for him to do that. But what I'm saying is if you're getting this kind of attention all the time, it shouldn't make no difference.
And that was my problem. I wasn't getting it all the time. I got it when
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And that's why I'm that was
He's one of them kind of dudes that only do holidays. Like, when I give flowers, I'm going to give them to you on Thursday because it's Thursday.
It
not because I did something wrong or it's a certain holiday. You know, that's the problem.
That. What most common women do is that we have our standards. We know what we will want. Just from the basic questions of a man, what do you do? Have you ever been to jail? Do you have kids? If you do, how many baby mothers do you have? Like, we know what we will not tolerate or what is too much for us. And when I asked him these questions, I knew six of the 10 questions I asked him, I was against from the beginning. But because I had a little bit of a thing for him, it was like, let's see where this goes. I told him what I wanted, what I wanted.
Yeah, but you ignored the red flag, so you got what you asked for. Garbage.
You're a candy coat, huh?
I'm just saying. I mean, you knew he was fucked up. You saw all the red flags, and you said, fuck it, I want this dick anyway, and you got what you asked for. Let's just be honest.
This was it kind of plays back to what I said. You know what you don't want. And
right.
You knew, you know, that this dude was kind of bad, but you took that chance. Not saying that it's always going to end up bad, you know, but whenever they exhibit those things that in your heart and in your head you say you do not want, you're like, well, I don't want a man who smoke weed. And then you end up getting with a dude that smoke weed and wonder why you're miserable. You know, because these are the things that you said you do not want for yourself. You know, and you should never go against the things that you said you specifically do not want for yourself.
Or a guy that's always around his mom all the time. And shit.
Or a guy that's always around his boys. Every time you call him, you know,
right.
he with his boys. Because that says
right.
a lot about
Mama need me
is.
To come fix this. Mama need me to come over here and cut the grass. Mama need me to do this. That's because mama don't want you to be with him.
Like,
but
yeah, because
I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, if a friend of mine would have told the story to me, like I'm telling to you, I would have said the same thing. Like, you
right.
don't even come to me with that bull. And it's like, you know, when I knew, what I expected from the beginning was I did see the big degree of change from how we were in high school to how he is now. I did see a very big change. So that led me to go ahead and pursue. But I didn't put my all in it because I'm like, okay, just in case, let me see. I had a feeling that what he was saying was bull, but I said, for me not to assume and judge, let me basically give him the rope for him. And he
you know something? And you know what that really is? That's you saying, fuck it, I'm going to go on with this.
Yeah, I'm going to do exactly
know
what my conscience said not to do.
Yeah, I'm going on with this because I like him and everything. And you're telling yourself, you're compromising for yourself.
Like,
I'm going to let him hang himself, but you really just want to just go on and be with this motherfucking shit, knowing he's fucked up. And we all do this. I mean, not just women. I mean, everybody, men. I've met women that I know was fucked up, knew they didn't want
you
me. I still wanted to get some, but I knew they was going to dog me in the end and all that, but I still went on with it. So I'm getting what I asked for.
I told y'all this story a long time ago. You know, the very first time I decided that I did not want, you know, something, it saved my life. Because I was kicking it with this girl. We went out to a club, and she had been drinking. And I was like, I will never, because I had seen what it did to my family, I was like, I will never get in the car with somebody who had been drinking. Just so happened, later that night,
you know, the car got plowed into a telephone pole. The whole passenger side was destroyed, which is where I would have been sitting. And I didn't know that until a month after the fact when she came to see me in my dorm and, like, half her hair was gone. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the hell happened to you? And she's like, it was a big accident. She showed me the pictures of the car. So at that point, I was like, okay, well, if there's ever something that I that in my heart of heart knows that I would not accept, I'm going to just let it go. Like just the other week, you know, I was talking to this girl who every time we talk, she at the club. Nice girl, but that I'm a homebody. So I already know what to look forward to if I try to engage in any type of relationship with her. I mean, it's right there, right in front of me. And sometimes you have to look at things for what they are.
And what it is we see stuff, and sometimes we will say we don't want something, just like he just said, basically. And then you look at it, and you be like, well, you know, sometimes we get this compromising thing going on. And it's not good to do that. But I think what Cotton is doing, what she says, she knows what she wants, and she sticks to that. And I know her to do that. But the thing is you got some folks, they say, I don't want this, I don't want that. And then like you said, you end up seeing them with the exact thing that they said they didn't want. Is it because they compromised, and or they really just don't know what they want, or they couldn't recognize what it is that they said they didn't want? Or are they just saying it because they heard somebody else say it? You know, there's a lot of reasons. Because you have a lot of people sometimes will say shit just because they heard somebody else say it and it sounds good. I don't want that. Or, you know.
Also, it could be a degree. It could be a degree of loneliness. Because, I mean, I have to admit, and people have to be honest about it, too. Sometimes when you are really just that lonely, things that you would have never, ever touched now become a little cute to you. I call it the club light. You look good in the club light with the lights rolling around. You get them out on, like, you get them outside on that street light. Like, what was I thinking type of thing? But then you also get people who, they want to see the goodness. They want to see and believe that even though 6 out of 10 things that I ask you I do not like, there's going to be one of those four that you feel can supersede all those things. And that's generally shouldn't even be the case, but you want to see the good, and then you realize that 6 was there for a reason.
Well, you know, sometimes people, they can change some people, too. They get with people, and they think they can change them. You know, you have a lot of people that's in the church. They meet a man that's outside of the church that's not really ready to be in church. And they think they can change them and make them, be what they want. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for people. And I guess with loneliness, you get that. But the thing is it's just you just can't do that. I mean, you got to stick to what it is you say you want, and you just going to have to suffer until you get that. Or compromise, like a lot of people do, and end up with shit they don't want. And then they complain because they got it. Well, it just didn't fall in their lap. They asked for it, they got it, and they seen the flags in the beginning. Most of the times, 80% of us, I'm going to say 85% of the time, I don't know why I say 85%, but I'll say 80, even 90% of the time, we see the shit. We see that there's something wrong with them when we first meet them. We know there's something going on, but we still go on with it. Why do we do that? I don't know.
Because nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect, and the flaws you see in somebody are the flaws somebody sees in you, and the reason you're with that person is so y'all can figure that shit out. That's what I believe. If you stay with them, then there's a reason you're with them. Whatever, however you rationalize it, whatever you meant to take away from that, you're going to take away from it. If you don't take away from it, then you're going to end up with somebody that was just like the person you got in a relationship with until you get it and move on. That's just how I feel. Nobody's perfect.
And I think that's why a lot of these some relationships people stay together forever is because they just know that there's nothing else out there. So they'll just stay with what they're with, and they're happy with it. And they do 30 and 40, 50 years with that person. Because eventually the person's going to stop doing the shit eventually. Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, if a dude's going to the club all the time, maybe he's going to get tired of it eventually. You know, that's why a lot of them, back in the day, a lot of relationships stayed. And the women was telling they other women, girl, he's just going through a phase. He's going to go through this, and it's going to be over. And they stuck with these men. I'm not saying it's right, but they did. And they ended up staying in these long relationships with these men until they died, until death do us part. That's what marriage was back then. Now it's like a motherfucker do one damn thing wrong. He looked the wrong way at somebody's ass. You wanted to get a divorce.
Uh-huh. You're like, yeah.
You know, divorce is so convenient now. It just, you know, it just, nobody takes that.
I was about to say that. Right. It's a convenient do we part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because in other countries, the marriage thing is still stuck. And some people don't even get to choose who they marry to. And they don't just divorce them. So, you know, I do think we do have a little bit of the ADD when it comes to dating, because we do, you know, there's multitude of options and a multitude of ways you can communicate, you know, with people, and you don't take that same time and same energy in learning yourself. And it does take for you to be by yourself or to be with somebody who can allow you space to grow for yourself to be that way. The relationship does not mean you are smothered in it. It does not mean you are intertwined into a person with this person for the next 50 years, because you're still an individual. You still got your own shit. You know, mm-hmm. your relationship is a complement. So that you can do things together doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to be fused at the hip, you know, for the rest of your life. I don't believe that. I think a lot of relationships with that expectation
to me,
fail.
I think relationships
are not expected to change. You can't.
Right.
You can't.
I think that if people would just be honest in the beginning and just be who they are instead of lying about it, just to manipulate and get around something, thinking they ain't going to get something. A lot of people get. I think you go far in a lot of these relationships, but people don't never want to be honest. They want to play games.
Why? Because being honest would keep you single.
Yeah. Well, not really. If it was accepted, like I said, in a perfect world, if your honesty was accepted, and you can actually tell somebody what you're really about, and they can tell you, and you can make an informed decision, because that's what we're talking about, is making an informed decision to whether you want to be with this person or not. I think it would go far. But people don't want to do that because they're worried about they ain't going to be single, or they're worried they ain't going to be able to get that one. That's the problem.
But see, the thing is we spend all this time being disillusioned because, you know, when we were growing up, you know, we were taught to romanticize a girl, romanticize, you know what I'm saying? And that was kind of ingrained
yep.
in our personality.
Hell
but
yeah,
then
that's why I'm hopeless romantic now. I can't even fucking be a damn, do a side piece because I'm trying to romance her ass.
But remember, like when we was kids, we tried romancing girls and they was just not having it. What they want, they wanted the bad boys. So then our
yep.
personalities changed. We was like, okay,
yep.
well, clearly these dudes in music and movies didn't know what the hell they talking about. We need to be bad boys in order to get girls. And some people keep those personalities. They always assume that womanizing, gotta be the bad boy type of persona because that's all they really want. That's all they really know. You know, the only way
right.
to get laid is to be a bad boy, you know, because good guys never get nothing. And it's not
mm-hmm.
until later in life that, you know, women are, well, not all women, but the women that, you know, that we typically pursue are the ones that we feel are out of our range. You know, it's not till later in life that they decide they want the good guy, but we done already spent 10, 15, 20 years being the bad boy. So, I mean, it is a head game, and it is a headache. But, you know, at some point, we're going to have to start, you know, learning how to love is just something that you experience. It's not something that someone can teach you. So, I mean, there's really no solution to what we're going through. There are always going to be head games, always, 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 until we can read each other's minds, and then there's going to be mind games. But it's just a part of being us. You know,
right.
Is it a headache? Yes. Is it? But is it something we can escape? No. Nobody on planet Earth is ever going to be able to escape, you know, the head games that men and women play with each other.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, Cotton, you are one of a kind, and there's more women out there, I'm sure, that know, and men, that know what they want. But a lot of us, and I'm saying us because I sometimes get put myself in that category because I do feel this way sometimes. One minute I know what I want, I can tell you what I'm looking for in a woman. But then when I get out there, it's like, okay, I might see some of these things, or I might see all the things in one woman. But it's something that always tells me, no, don't do it. It cringe. Maybe because I've been married too many times, or I've been in relationships that were, like the last one I was in, it lasted for 9 months, but it was almost a year ago. Actually, it's over a year ago. So, you know, I'm still cringing thinking about that. And that's fucked up, I know. But I can tell you what kind of woman I would like to have. I can tell you what I would like to do with her if I was in a relationship. But when it's time to do it, it's time to do action, I'm not there yet mentally, I guess. I don't know. I guess because most of my adult life, and I'm talking about me, I've been married to someone or something in some kind of situation, I mean. Okay. So now I'm in a point where I'm kind of happy, where I can don't have to make a decision about nobody but myself. I can do whatever, but I still want to treat women like I would if they were mine. Like, you know, the hopeless romantic thing is what I love to do, and I know it's jacked up. But when you do that, all you're doing is trying to you bring somebody in and you hurt them. It's not good. So I don't know how to be a bad boy like Dee Dee's talking about, where you go out there and play around and fuck everything. I mean, I tried to do that when I was young, but that was when I was young. Now I'm not there. So I don't know. I don't know. I got to fix myself. So, But I'm glad that you do know and that you can pursue what you want, because a lot of people just don't. No. Are you there? Cotton. Are you there? Are you yawning? Are you yawning? Okay. did you hear what I said? I hope you did.
Now, and it's not even that I'm the girl that I don't mind saying to a guy, hey, let's go out. I'm her. Because I see something in him that I do like. Doesn't mean I want to date him. It doesn't mean I want to be with him. It just means that when I say I know what I want, in that very second, all I want to do is go out with him, have a good time, and come home. That's it.
But do you tell him that when you do it? When you get ready to go out, do you tell him that in the beginning so he has an idea of what it is that you want to do? Do you tell him that?
I tell them that, you know. And they think they can change your mind. Of course. People always think they can change my mind on something.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, you know, that's why I'm asking, because sometimes people think they can. And that's why I was saying the scenario earlier where there are some women, I'm not saying that men don't do it either, but there are some women who will go out and get a man that's not in the church and not in that way and think they can bring him in and he'll get that way and then they can have what they want. The bad boy guy that turned godly and now he's in church with her. You know, it just doesn't work. So, you know, I'm glad that you tell them and they think they can tell you, oh, no, I can go out with you and we can just go to the movies, but then they want to do some stuff. I understand.
Well, you know, the subject always comes up of what am I looking for?
Okay. Well, since you brought it up, can you tell us?
I can tell you that people always say, what are you looking for? Well, I'm just looking to have a good time. Now, eventually, I would like to be dating somebody where we're both interested in marriage.
What is the definition of just wanting to have a good time? Because there's a lot. That's a broad answer.
Otherwise, I'm not. But when I say that, it's me weeding out the BS men, those that are seriously interested in getting to know me.
Yeah, but some people say, I want to have a good time. That means it involves everything.
So do you tell them what that means?
Do you explain to them? Maybe I didn't, because you were phasing in and out. So what did you say?
You said
it weeds them out.
What weeds them out is when they ask me what I want and I say eventually I would like to be dating somebody who's interested in marriage, and that helps me weed out the BS from the ones who are, you know, who are seriously interested in getting to know me, whether it leads to that or not, they're still interested in getting to know me. Because the minute you tell a man that you're interested in marriage, they always run, well,
you know, some of them don't. What if you run into one that wants to get married, but he don't want to do it today? He might want to do it next year or 2 years from now.
I don't want to do it today either.
Well, that's just it. But if you tell him that and you think he's thinking you want today, so he runs? I mean, what if the guy is thinking, well, we can get married 2 years from now?
No, let me explain. A man when he's interested in getting to know you, that would never scare him, because he can easily say to you, well, I'm not interested in getting married, but I still would like to get to know you.
So you want to hear those words is what you're saying?
I don't need to hear those words, but he won't be. His words to me won't be, well, I'm not. I don't want to do all of that. I just wanted to, you know. That's when you know you got to.
I just want to fuck. I just want a thug. Okay, yeah,
so
I got
you. I use a celibacy kick. Works every time.
That's another one. That celibacy thing, man. That right there is
but
one
I have
that
to say,
I asked somebody about that. I asked them, where it does weed them out? But what I'm saying is why play celibate when you're not?
Well,
just tell them you don't want to fuck them.
Here's the thing.
Just tell them you don't want to fuck them. You ain't got to lie. Say you answer
now,
this. I'm not having any sex.
Now, see, you know what's so strange about that? Is that actually happened to me, I want to say, about a month ago, and I found it so funny. I met somebody, and we talked on the phone, and we hung out. And it was like, of course, you know, people are always going to put their best foot forward. And things were going great until I started seeing, after about a week or two, I started seeing signs that he wanted to
pussy is tied up.
Like, he wanted
it together. You can't open it. Right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like, you know, like, he wanted to take it a step further. So because I am celibate, I said, you know what? I'm celibate. He said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, that means I'm not having sex. He was like, well, for how long? Like a year? I said, no. I said, personally, for me, I do it for like 6 months out of a year. He was like, so what month are you on now? I said, I'm on the second month. So that means if I want something, I got to wait 4 months. And it's like at that point in time, now you're trying to depict on what day doing things so you could go in your mind and see if you want to wait.
But you know something? Listen, you looking at that as being bad, but I give him credit. You know why? Because at least the motherfucker's trying to see if he can get some or not. He ain't just walk away saying, I ain't going to get none at all. I give him motherfucker credit for that.
He did walk away.
I'm sure he did.
That's
but,
the last conversation we had.
But I'm just saying, you know, he at least thought if he had an inkling of a chance, maybe he might have. But the thing is you got some dudes, like you say, you say you celibate all this or whatever. Okay, that's a good trick that women are using. Some of them are really celibate, and some are using that just because they want to weed out certain guys or whatever. That's fine. Okay, but the thing is all you got to do is just say you don't want to do it. You know, they're going to run anyway. They're going to leave anyway if that's all they wanted from you. But,
no,
but I just
no,
think
Red,
that it's just...
No, Red, no.
You don't think
don't.
So? They ain't going to run if you don't tell them you celibate?
Nope, because
no.
The challenge now.
No.
They're going to keep trying. They're going to try to break you down.
I know some guys that will try to celibate women.
They will try absolutely everything to break down their walls. You may say, and you may say with conviction, I'm sorry, I'm not really interested in sex right now. That could be it. And trust and believe, they're going to try every trick Houdini then came out with to try to break them walls. They're going to come to you with side stories. Oh, my God, I'm so stressed. I almost lost my job. My mom is sick. And they,
you know she got six times of cancer.
Right, you know, like, you know, she had glaucoma, then she had diabetes, now her liver, her kidney. They're going to play on your every weakness and how you know that that's what they want after every story they tell you. You know what will really make me feel good right now? What, an ice cream cone from Dairy Queen? No.
Just
a walk in the park? No.
I want you to kiss it.
Or let me kiss it in. Like, people tell you that as a dope. Crazy.
Let me ask y'all. I got a question. Go ahead and say what you're going to say. Then I got a question for you.
Him for 2 years, and when I told him that I was celibate, we got into a major argument because he thought that I was trying to prove something to other women, and then he was like, well, you know, your Facebook page says this, and how you always write down this stuff about how strong women are. I said, whose Facebook page are you looking at? First of all, I said, but why am I having this argument with you about my life and my body? Like, this not behind nothing to do with you, but it was he was upset because he wanted me to have sex with him, and I told him, no, I'm not going there. So it became a big 10-minute argument. You know, eventually I got in my car and drove off. So,
you know, I'm saying.
But
no,
but
you don't have to defend yourself.
Right. Right, exactly. That's how I felt. I shouldn't have to do anybody there. If you respected me, you would respect my decision. So why are you trying to change my mind about my sexuality right now?
What do you do with a guy that, okay, you tell him he's celibate and all this stuff, and he still says, okay, I'm I can understand, I respect you, I still want to see you, I still want to go out with you and everything, and we don't have to do sex. What do you do with that? You let blow your mind or what?
I tell him if he feel like he need to get it from somewhere else, then go right ahead. I'm not saying that.
I'm saying this guy is he likes you enough that he will go along with you.
Somebody else of what they desire. Now, if he's serious about what he's saying,
I'm saying.
I'm explaining what I would say if you really feel the because. I'm not going to psych myself out into believing that this man who was used to having sex is now going to be celibate with me.
Right. Well, you know something? I can say that about a woman because there's women that used to fuck and now they are celibate. So how is that? That's the same thing.
You can't really.
That's the man.
I think it's a mistake for somebody. I think it's a mistake. Only reason why is this. Because if he says, look, I'm going to try to be with you, if you give him an out, he is going to take that out. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's like, look, if you want to be with me, you have to respect what I'm about. And
exactly.
But because there's a lot of men who is like, okay, well, she didn't let me get it from her before. Like, let's say y'all married and you don't want to give him none. You mad. He's like, well, she let me mess around before. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of mindset that a lot of men have. You know, it's not about self-control. It's about what you will allow. And if you'd allowed it once, you'll allow it again.
Yeah, but see, and like I said, just like you said a few minutes ago, how is he going to not, he going to all of a sudden be with a woman that's celibate? Well, the woman used to have sex before, and now she's celibate. So, I mean, you're missing something because you want to. You chose not to have sex, right? So the thing is we can say the same thing about the women. You know, did you say about the men? How, you know, I mean, it goes both ways in that aspect. Now, unless you were someone that has never had it, you're a virgin and you don't know what you're missing, then I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
You asked about the man. You didn't ask about the woman.
Okay. Okay, so it's okay. The man can go ahead and you're saying it's all right if he feels that he can, whatever, that he needs to take his ass home. Okay.
Right. No, what I was trying to say was, I got interrupted from my point. What I was saying was is that I'm not going to, because I know that there are men out there, if I'm celibate and I'm now dating somebody who is not used to being celibate, I can't expect that he would do what I do. Now, if he's that serious, me opening that door to him, he won't walk through it, period, because he's more interested in getting. It doesn't mean he's going to come back here. It doesn't mean I'm going to be with him after he does that. I'm just saying that I'm not going to force him to be. That's like saying I don't eat pork. I'm not going to tell you can't eat pork because I don't eat pork. That's your preference.
Right. Do what you feel like. But that's what I was trying to say is just you know, the guy might be serious enough that he will not go out and do something with you. You know, or with some other woman is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying. I mean, there might be some guy that might do that. You know, I mean, it's not impossible. But you know, I mean, some guys, I guess, you know, can't do that. I mean, but I'm just saying, it could be a woman. What if the guy was so?
But wait, but see, if he makes an attempt to, you know, what I'm saying, like if like I love meat, beef, like you know, I decided to give up red meat. Love beef. All right. Now, if I met somebody who was like, man, I'm a vegan. I don't eat nothing. We can't be together, ever. And I'm going to let you know this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be like, well, maybe if I eat some tofu, no. If it ain't red, it ain't right. All right. So the thing is, but if I am going to, if I say, you know what, it's about time I gave up meat. And, you know, I'm going to try. I'm going to really, really try. You know what I'm saying? Then you can't say, well, if you're going to, you know, if you want to eat meat, you can't eat it around meat. Well, then that defeats the whole purpose of me trying. You know, you have to allow that man to try. And I understand what you're saying. You know, it's his life and he has to do what he wants to do. But understand this. If he wants to be with you, then he needs your support, not your, you know, not you letting him. Not you let open the gate so he can run free sometimes. He needs you to be able to be there and be like, look, you know, we in this together. You know, because I'm going to tell you, once you open that gate, you cannot close it. Once you say, okay, yeah, you can go get yours somewhere else, if there ever comes a time where you don't give him none, you damn sure believe he gonna, that gate's still open, so he's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, but right. I don't think she's saying that if he goes, that he can come back. She's saying if he goes, he's gone.
Yeah, but you ain't always going to know that he left.
That's true. You're not going to know all the time. But
always. We know. Believe we know.
Y'all know. Okay. Yes. Well, let me, Drinka.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you do. But Drinka, go ahead and tell everybody, because we got like 6 minutes left. We want you to kind of tell people how they can get your book.
Well, you can find my book online at www.DrikaArmstrong.com. And it is also available on Nook and Amazon, so you can always go and find them there or find me on Facebook at author Drinka Armstrong.
Okay. Well, Cotton, I thank you for the subject because, like I said, you always come with such great controversial subjects that we can discuss.
We may have to do a part two for this one.
Mm-hmm. We may have to. Matter of fact, next week we should, because I think a lot of things have not actually been touched in this that could have been, and we want to get some audience response as well. So we want to definitely maybe talk some more, if it's okay with you, Cotton, to do that. Because I think this is such a subject that I think should be addressed. And I knew that there are a lot of people's choices are to be celibate and all this stuff, but and let's add a little twist to it. But what about the people who are just using that as a tool for certain people? Because there are some women that will tell you, "Quick, I'm celibate." Would they?
Yeah, remember when you used to be like, "I'm gay."
They give it somebody else. Yeah, or somebody else can get it, but you, but they celibate with you. So you know. It can be taken in a lot of direction, but I appreciate that.
I think second segment, DV and Red should give us a breakdown of what they want as men individually.
Oh, right. That'd be good.
Why do you want us to tell what we want? Why do you want us to tell what we want?
Because DV is
have a question. Cotton, you're breaking up. So
you're breaking up.
I don't know what's going on with your phone. Say it again.
I said because you are Red Snapper and DV is DV, and the women out there want to know.
Really? Okay. All right. I'm gonna come up with some bullshit next week. I'm gonna come up with some bullshit next week to let y'all know what I want. Okay. I'll do that. No, seriously. I'll tell the truth. You know, whenever I'm challenged this way, I will let you know exactly what it is that I think I want from a woman. And
well, why don't we start with what
I don't
want?
We can tell them that too.
Don't want.
We can do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. My problem is I like chocolate, and then sometimes vanilla come in the way, and.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, and shit. And, you know, it's just all kinds of shit. Just, you know, when I say vanilla, I ain't talking about white girl.
Tisha and left Tina, they just knock them all out the box, right?
Right, yeah. Well, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, I was talking about your hand.
Keep him.
Leave my hand out of this. It's probably going to be involved tonight, so stop. Anyway. Yes, I'm out of the date. For those of you who didn't know, yes, I do. I think everybody does. So. Okay, it happens. Anyway, some people just don't admit it. But, yes, that's what's going down.
Ain't no shame, man.
Say what?
if you ain't masturbated by the time, you know, you 20, then you got
something wrong with
you,
your ass.
There's not something wrong, but you're going to find out a lot about your body that you ain't know before.
Right. I tell you, boy, it's amazing. But anyway, people, that's what they do. They try to say they don't. You're embarrassed. Oh, I don't play with myself. I'm in the shower. I just wash it. I don't do anything. Yeah, right. That freeze or whatever it was, that cum that you got, it was just whatever. It was part of your washing process.
You going too in-depth into this one, man.
I'm just saying. I'm letting it go.
You fantasizing while you're talking about it. You're scaring me.
Not really. Am I scaring y'all?
No.
Okay, it's a life change.
Because you feel like I'm nasty anyway.
I mean, this is what people do, right? I mean, don't they fucking jack off and shit? I thought they did.
That's what sounds right.
Well, not for this one either, huh?
Y'all have a good night.
All right.